forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's November 9th, 2011, and this is episode number 24. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. This episode features an interview with Carolyn Nash, the author of a newly published memoir called Raising Abel. In Works Do's young life, I've profiled quite a few writers: an investigative reporter, a screenwriter, a speechwriter, a writer of short stories. I'll admit to a weakness for people who work with words. What intrigues me about memoir writers is the lack of separation between life and work. Most of us distinguish, at least in some way, between our professional selves and our personal selves. But for the writer of a published memoir, life is work, and work is life. I was curious to know how Carolyn felt about this. Here's the interview. I'm talking tonight to Carolyn Nash, who is the author of the newly published memoir, Raising Abel. And Carolyn, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, it is a pleasure.
So first off, I should mention that your name is not really Carolyn, that is a pen name. So let's start with that. First of all, tell us what your book is about and why you chose to publish it under a pen name.
Well, 18 years ago, I rather naively decided to look into adoption. As a single woman, you know, I'd been waiting for Prince Charming and he wasn't showing up, and I kind of figured, well, I better not wait any longer. And I've always wanted children. So I went with a friend to a meeting about adoption. And the more I heard about it, the more excited I got about it. And I ended up fostering and then adopting a little boy. And he, unfortunately, had been horrifically abused. So the story that of our 18-year journey together is not an easy story, and it's very personal. So I don't want to expose him to any sort of publicity at all. He, you know, I want him to choose whoever knows about his past. It's his story. But we did discuss it about the book, and he does feel like I do that sharing our experiences can help other people that might be in the same position.
Right. So it's the personal nature of the book and actually of memoir writing in general that I wanted to start with. I should say that okay. I have read the book from beginning to end. It is horrifying. It is riveting. It's also extremely beautiful. One of the things that I think a lot about when I think about work, you know, we distinguish between our professional lives and our personal lives as if the work that we do is somehow not personal. But the work of writing a memoir, especially a memoir like yours, is deeply personal. And can you just describe how you arrived at the decision to write and publish your story?
Well, you know, I'm thinking as you're talking also, being a foster parent is one of those jobs that's, I mean, you're living your job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, it goes with the memoir writing in a way. I wanted to write it, as I started to write it first, it was a way to deal with it. The things that had happened to my son are still things that I don't like to even think about because I start getting angry. And I needed to visit all of that. I needed to go through and really look at all of it. Plus, the other thing that had happened during the 18 years was that I had to deal with my own issues. I had to really come up against the fact that I had also been abused as a child. And so the journey that we took together, it was both of us.
Right.
And so when we got to the point where I was thinking, you know, we might just be a little bit over the hump. And I was looking back at it all and I thought, you know, I need to get this down. I need to write it down. and remember it and go through it and really feel it so that I can deal with it.
How has your son reacted to your book? Has he read it?
He will not read it. And it's interesting that his best friend actually is reading it. And he sent me a message saying, if Abel can forget even half of what happened to him, he should never read this book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things of, I don't know that he's ready to go back over every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Who do you feel that you wrote this story for? It sounds like it was in part for yourself, but is it for other parents? Is it for the adoption community in particular? Who did you write for?
You know, I think I have to say, in the most part, I was being selfish and I was writing for myself. I was writing for my son. I wanted to document what happened to him. But I also was writing for the foster parent community because I remember a lot of the times that I was going through the really bad times, I felt so incredibly alone with it. Nobody else is experiencing this. Nobody else is in this position. Well, I put up a blog about some of this experience, and I found that there's an enormous number of people going through it. And sharing it really does make it easier.
Mm.
Plus, you can just, oh, there's simple things like when you're holding a kid who's trying to rip your hair out, how do you hold them? I mean,
right.
it
so it's a manual.
To practical matters also.
Right. Have you ever had any misgivings? I know it's early days in terms of publishing it, but have you ever had moments of thinking maybe this isn't the thing to do, or have you felt a deep conviction about it?
I've had a few moments. I still wonder at times. I think that if I can keep my son's privacy private, that it will be fine. If my story came out and it was connected with me, just me personally, I would have no problem with it. But I'm 55 and he's 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a much different experience for him. So I have had those feelings about that. Plus the fact that there's some things in the book about my parents, and one of my parents is still living, and I really do not want her to ever see the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have some of those misgivings, but I really think it was important also to, in a very clear, very honest way, talk about child abuse without sugarcoating it in any way, shape, or form, because I think it's really important for people to know that it really is going on out there right now as we're talking.
It's interesting, just listening to you right now, one thing that has occurred to me is that in a way it's a wonderful time to be a memoirist because you can retain your anonymity as you are doing, and yet at the same time receive reader feedback, which I see you've started to do because you have reviews on Amazon.
Yeah.
How does that feel to hear people talk about your book and talk about your life?
Talking about the book has been amazing. Maybe because of some of the things that have happened to me, maybe because of the way I was raised, I have a lot of trouble with believing that anything that I could produce is something that somebody would want to read or, you know, oh, then I get these reviews from some people that are saying that it touched them. It touched their heart and it touched their lives and it really meant something to them. And comments from people on the blog saying, you know, I'm going to go in and hug my foster son right now. Or I was just about to lose it with my foster son, but after reading this, I can kind of see how he's feeling. And that means a great deal to me. As far as people finding out about my private life, I don't care anymore.
Right.
I am who I am.
Right.
I'm a kind of believer in that Popeye saying, I am what I am.
Right. Last question I had for you is, you know, I think of you first and foremost as a writer, because that's how I've come to know you, is through your writing. But one of the remarkable things about this story is, of course, that you had to live it before you could write about it. And that brings me to, as you described, you know, the work of fostering, of parenting, all those years of really challenging foster parenting that you describe in the book. Did you, in fact, think of that as work, or how did you think of it? How does one even begin to think of that type of work?
You know, as far as fostering with Abel, it was love at first sight. I was lost. I was sunk the minute I met him. So it never was a job. Mm-hmm. It was hard, hard, hard work. And it was at times incredibly difficult. But it was never a job. But I have fostered, and I know a lot of foster parents. And most of them, contrary to a lot of urban legend, I guess you'd call it, foster parents are not in it for the money. They are in it because they deeply care about the children that they're taking into their lives. And as somebody who is a wonderful teacher around here in foster care, said most of the people that come to foster care, it's because they have their own hole in their life that they want to fill by helping somebody else. And it's an amazing job. But I'll tell you, it's, if anybody ever says to you that a foster parent does it for the money, no.
They should just read
your
book.
Just as an example, I figured out one time, I was writing an ad with a friend, just a pretend ad. Foster parent needed, must provide own building, 24-hour-a-day care, 7 days a week, all meals, all clothing, but you get $13 a day. So, then the other thing that I heard at about the same time was that I live in California, and in the state of California, the average cost to kennel a dog per day is $25. So we think less of our children than we do of our pets.
Wow, what a statistic.
I can get on a soapbox about it. And
it sounds like a soapbox that needs climbing. So thank you for sharing your story both in your book and on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Carolyn Nash. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Work Stew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the Work Stew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.